Well, tomorrow is a really important day. It's Monday. Oh, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Yeah, of course it is. It's Valentine's Day. So public service announcement, guys, I'm just trying to help you out. If you mess up after this one, you got nobody to blame but yourself. All right? I want to talk about, well, the title of my message is The Greatest is Love. That's the title of my message today. I want to talk about love because it's so important in our lives. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, we're familiar with how it closes. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I want us to look at love from a biblical perspective because God really raises the standard for us as Christians. And I want us to catch that this morning and really look at love from this biblical perspective. But before I do that, I thought it might be fun to just look at love from a child's perspective. Kids can, you know, they can really give us some great insight at times, can't they? So here's what Greg, 8 years old, said about love. He said, love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball is pretty good too. Amy, age 9, she's a little older, a little more mature. She says, no one is sure why love happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant is so popular. When asked what falling in love is like, 9-year-old Roger said, it's like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. I don't know, I love that one. Leo, age 7, isn't all that interested in love when he says, if falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. And finally, there's Bobby. Maybe some of you are going to identify with Bobby. 8 years old, he recognizes the power of love, the inevitability of being ambushed by it. And this is what he says. He says, love will find you even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5. But the girls keep finding me. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys had that problem when you were 8. The girls just kept finding you. Maybe some of you girls, you had that problem. Maybe that's not really an issue for us. But here's what I do know. I'm glad that when we might have been hiding from God, He found us. Amen. His love found us. He chased us down. And He doesn't give up. How many of you know that? His love just keeps on pursuing after us. So there are a lot of places in the Bible that talk about love. I mean, it really is the greatest thing. And so it's woven in and out of almost every passage of Scripture. And it's so hard to, like, say, well, I'm just going to preach on this passage of Scripture. So this morning, I'm going to take the liberty to look at three passages of Scripture. One's in Matthew chapter 22. The other, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. But then also, we're going to look in Luke chapter 10. So let's start in Matthew chapter 22 this morning. Verse 35. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Isn't it amazing how these experts try to trap Jesus with questions? Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. It's all about love. It's all about love. That's what Jesus is saying. I mean, there are a lot of directions that he could have gone, but he basically says, the most important thing that I can tell you, the most important commandment is love God and love people. You know, there are basically four kinds of relationships that you can have with other people. You can hate people that love you. Now, that's done by people, but that really rubs against the grain. That's not really the natural response, to hate people that love you. You can hate the people that hate you. Now, that is pretty standard. That's easy to do. You know, that's just kind of the common human fallen condition, is to hate people that hate us. You can You can love the people that love you. That's the third kind of relationship you can have. You can love the people that love you. And again, that's not all of that hard to do. In fact, in one occasion, Jesus was talking to them in Luke chapter 6, and he said, the sinners also love those that love them. So Jesus says, you know, when you love the people that love you, you really haven't proven anything. You've not really done anything special. Even heathen people do that. But then Jesus causes us to rise up to a higher level of relationship with people. Not to hate the people that love us, not to hate the people that hate us, not just to love the people that love us, but Jesus calls us to love the people that hate us. He says, you got to even love your enemies. Now, that's not easy by any means, but that's the standard. That is the standard that Jesus lays out for us as he talks to us about the importance and the greatness of love. So this morning I want to talk to you about three different angles as we look at love. First of all, I want to talk about the priority of love, then the performance of love, and then thirdly, I want to talk about the persuasion of love. First of all, the priority of love. And we've already seen that as we look here in our text in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment? Now Jesus could have easily gone to the Old Testament scriptures. He could have flipped through his big King James Bible. Wait a minute, he didn't have one. But he could have flipped through his Hebrew Bible, and he could have found Exodus chapter 20. He could have found any number of other laws that the Jewish people were all too familiar with, and said, well, that one's a pretty good one. But Jesus bypasses legalism, and he says, it's not about law. It's not about legalism. It's about love. It's about love. And in fact, it's like, because you know, these Pharisees, they were big on the legalism. They were big on law. They were big on, you got to do this and you can't do that. And maybe some of you got raised in a church that was what you thought church was all about. That's what you thought Christianity was all about. It's a bunch of rules and legal things. You know, you got to do this and you can't do that. And if you do this, you're going straight to hell. Do not pass go. You know, just legalism. Jesus is like, hey, it's not about legalism. It's not about the law. You got to raise it to a higher level, because if you do all of the laws and you kept them all right, but you don't love God and you don't love your fellow man, then you've missed the whole boat. So Jesus really places the priority, the emphasis on loving God and loving people. And he didn't just tell us to do that, he demonstrated it, because he loved people. He loved us. In fact, the Bible says that here's real love, not that we love God, because we think that our love for God is something special. He says, here's love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Here's real love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the love of God. He gave us the example. Now, the Bible also shows us the priority of love in Luke chapter 10. There's the story of the Good Samaritan. But before we get into the story, it's interesting to look at the introduction, what took place that led Jesus to tell this story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Sound familiar? Yeah, kind of like the last verse that we were reading, last passage there in Matthew. And here's what he asked. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must, and notice if this sounds a little familiar, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And I was paying attention, Jesus, when you asked that other guy's question. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a story, and we're going to look at that story in a moment. But I want you to see here that the answer to the most important question that any of us could ever ask, which is, how do I have eternal life? Because really, that is the most important question. I don't know what question seems to be important to you today, But if you've not answered this question, if you've not got the solution to how do I have eternal life, that really is the most important question. You need to figure that out right now. And Jesus gives the answer to that. How do we have eternal life? And he doesn't give them a bunch of lists of you got to do this, 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 and this. You got to go to church all your life and pay your tithes and blah, 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 blah. No, he says, here's the answer to how you have eternal life. Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And again, he puts those two things together. It's not enough to just love God. You got to love your neighbor. And hey, by the way, it's not enough just to love people. You got to love God. Jesus puts both of those as the emphasis, as the priority. Now, there's another place that drives home the priority of love, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So here we go, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let me just pause right there for a moment. I mean, can you imagine if you had a neighbor that had a gong? And they just loved every once in a while to just go out and beat on that thing. Bong! You know, how many of you are like, either I'm moving or I'm shooting his gong or, you know, something, right? Because that would be one of the most aggravating things. And it's like Paul is saying to us, I want you to get this, because he's putting the priority on love. He's telling us just how important love is. He's saying, listen, if you can do all this other spiritual stuff, speaking in other languages, he's talking about, I mean, and we're Pentecostals here, right? I mean, I hate to, you know, if you didn't know that already, we are a Pentecostal church. We really, really are. But he says it's not about doing all the Pentecostal stuff. If you don't have love, you're as irritating and aggravating to God as a clanging gong. Just think about that for a moment. And then he keeps going. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. I would be nothing. I mean, here's this list of spiritual gifts. You know, if I, you know, had the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom and the gift of tongues and interpretation and I had the gift of faith. How many of you believe that faith is pretty important? If you didn't, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus says, or the Bible says, that without faith it's impossible to please God. So now, how many of you think faith must be pretty important? Yeah, it really is. And yet, he says, but even if I had all the faith to move mountains and I didn't have love, I am nothing. And then he goes on and he says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, when Paul writes this chapter, and oftentimes we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the context of like, marriages, wedding ceremonies, you know, somebody will quote these verses of scripture. But that's not what Paul's thinking about when he's writing this. This has got nothing to do with Valentine's Day and romance and all of that. I'm going to show you, I'm a pretty smart guy, because chapter 13 falls right between chapters 12 and chapter 14. Yeah. And your pastor, he's got it. I mean, I understand stuff. I'm smart. But here's what I want you to get. It's all about context. That chapter 13, this love chapter, falls within the context of teaching about spiritual gifts. And again, we acknowledge spiritual gifts are important. You know, we need the spiritual gifts operating in our lives. We need those gifts operating in the church. But it's like Paul's talking to the church about these spiritual gifts, and it's like, but hold on, I need to make something really, really clear. In fact, let's just take a time out, commercial break. Let's just really emphasize something right here in the midst of talking about these spiritual gifts, and that is love. Because if you can speak in tongues, but you don't love people, if you can interpret people speaking in tongues, but you don't love people, If you got all this faith and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and you can lay hands on people and heal them, but you don't have love, Paul's like, man, we got to cover that. It's almost like he'd been into some church services. It's almost like he'd seen some people who could be real spiritual, but they didn't know how to love people. And he's like, I want you to get this. I want you to understand the importance of love, the priority of love. It's not about all that other stuff. That's important. But it doesn't rise above the importance of loving God and loving people. Love is the most important. It's the greatest thing. And nothing else matters if we don't have love. So that's establishing the priority of love. Listen, you just got to get this. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to love people. I mean, like everybody. Because you're kind of thinking like, well, I do love people. I got about 5 or 6 people that I love. No. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to be a real Christian, a real Bible Christian, a real Jesus Christian. I don't think there's any really other kind of Christian, or at least there shouldn't be, but a real Jesus Christian. If you're going to be that kind of person, you're going to have to love everybody. All right, that's the priority of love. Secondly, the performance of love. Well, if we got to love people, what does that actually look like? When the rubber meets the road in our everyday life, what does this kind of love, how does it really manifest? What does it look like? So let's talk about that for a moment. And while we're already in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's just stay there and just keep reading, starting at verse 4. Love is patient and kind. All right, how many people need to come down to the altar and repent already? You know, this is a tough list. I just want to tell you, this is a tough list that we're getting ready to read. It's not easy to do this stuff. Seeing my wife, she's like nodding her head, yep. Yeah, practice what you preach, preacher. All right, so here we go now. I'm already confessing that I might need some help here, but love is patient and kind. I'm just talking about kind. I remember hearing the story of this little girl that she was praying. She said, Lord, make the bad people good and make the good people kind. Lord, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Even early in the morning, right? For all the non-early morning people, right? It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It doesn't keep score. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And let me just say something about that. Love never gives up. I think you could throw the words on people right in after that and it would still fit. Love never gives up on people. It's so easy for us to sometimes give up on people, right? They'll never change. They're beyond help, whatever. But love, this real love, this Bible love, it doesn't give up on people. It never loses faith. That's a list. That's quite the list. But maybe you're not into lists. Maybe you're more into pictures. How many of you like your books that have lots of pictures in them? Yeah. So if you like pictures, the Bible is a good picture book too. And Jesus paints a picture for us of what love really looks like in Luke chapter 10, going back to the story of the Good Samaritan. So let's just pick up where we stopped there. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and the man said, oh, thank God, the priest is here, and he's going to help me. Well, that's not what it says, but I guarantee you that's what that guy was thinking when he saw the priest come along. He's like, oh, somebody's going to help me, but that's not what happened. But when he, the priest, saw the man lying there, he actually crossed to the other side of the road and passed by. wait a minute, Jesus, that's not nice, talking about religious people like that. And Jesus is like, oh, you didn't like that one. Well, let me tell you about the second guy that comes along. He was a temple assistant. Oh, another religious guy. He probably saved the day, right? No. The temple assistant walks over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. You know, like it's two strikes for the religious folks right now. It's not looking really good. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion or love for him. And going over to him, and here's this love in action. Here's the performance of love that I want you to see. This is what love looks like, where the rubber meets the road. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, when you look at this, you realize that love isn't just some nice concept. It's not just a sermon topic that we should preach in February. But there's a real practical side to love. That love crosses boundaries. Love doesn't discriminate. I mean, he's talking about the despised Samaritan. And most of you have been in church long enough. You know that the Jews and the Samaritans, they basically hated each other. They didn't get along with each other. They would, you know, go way out of their way to avoid one another. It was major racial tension there. But this guy doesn't care about the racial tension. He just loves. Because it really doesn't matter what the guy's skin color is there. It doesn't matter what his occupation is there. It doesn't matter, you know, whether he supports OU or OSU. It really doesn't matter. What matters is he's broken and he's hurting in life and he needs help. Amen. He needs somebody that loves him maybe even more than I love myself at this moment. Because just loving myself would be to do the convenient thing. That's kind of what the priest did. That's kind of what that temple assistant did. They did the convenient thing. I got church service to go to. I don't have time for that. Can you imagine? You know, if all of a sudden there was this pop quiz of Jesus, and you show up at church, and there's Jesus, and he's like, okay, pop quiz. I gave you a chance to show love on your way to church this morning. How did you handle it? Were you so eager that you had to get to church that you missed the opportunity to be the church? I mean, you know, Jesus is much more interested in you being church than going to church. I do believe that if you be to church, you will go to church. But It's being the Christian. It's the love in action is what is really gonna matter. Love isn't so busy with our own stuff that it doesn't have time for other people. Love is willing to sacrifice. This guy's willing to pull money out of his pocket. And it wasn't just money, it was his time. He was probably like on this business trip. He's traveling. He had a plane that he had to catch. That was a, you know, he was at the airport. He had to get on the next plane, but if I stop to help this guy, I'm going to miss the next flight. How am I going to explain that to my business partner? Because we got to talk about this multi-billion-dollar deal. And he's like, nothing else is more important right now than loving this guy, helping this guy. This love thing, this is kind of tough, isn't it? It really is. But that's the separation point. It's what divides us from everybody else. And it's where Jesus really gets the glory. It's where the light of the gospel shines the brightest. Is when we really put love into action, even when it's not easy, even when it's not convenient. Which brings me to my final point, and that's the persuasion of love. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The New Living Translation, I like the wording there. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. It's just like that phrase. It'll prove it to the world. See, loud won't persuade, but love will. Now, I get loud. I'm sorry. I'm a preacher. I get loud. But you know what? Loud really doesn't persuade. Love does. Anger won't persuade, but love will. Facts won't persuade. I'm a head guy. I'm a cerebral kind of guy. I do have a heart, but you know, I'm led with my head. And I, you know, give me the facts, you know, but the facts, sometimes people are looking for more than just the facts. They're looking for the heart of it. Facts won't persuade, but love will. Arguments won't persuade. How many of you, honestly, how many of you ever argued anybody into the kingdom of God? Show your hand. Anybody ever honestly argued somebody into the kingdom of God? I don't see anybody raising their hands. You know, you can win the argument. Oh, I was factually right. I quoted all the scriptures and I tore down all of their arguments. But facts? Arguments? It's not going to win people in the kingdom. But love will. Condemnation won't persuade. Judgmental attitudes won't persuade, but love will. See, people are looking for more than just religion. They're looking for more than a building. They're looking for more than rhetoric. They're looking more for more than just some kind of doctrine or theology. They're looking for more than somebody can just quote a Bible verse to them. They're looking for the love of God that can change their life. Because that's what changed your life. And that's what they need. That's what's going to change their life. When they see real love. Going back to Pastor Sean's message, man, what an awesome message he gave us a couple of weeks ago. Remember his box of rocks and his box of dirt up here? You know, we got to learn how to drop the rocks, get down on the level with other people, get our hands dirty, and really demonstrate love. That's practical love. And here's what will motivate us to do it. I'm not so foolish as to think that my sermon today is going to motivate you to change. But here's what the Bible says. It says, but the love of God compels us. It's the love of God. It's when we really are introduced to the real Jesus who loves us, that changes us. And all of a sudden, it'll change everything about us. It'll change what's important to us. It'll change how we spend our time. It'll change how we see other people. And the love of God will compel us to really love the world like Jesus loved the world. Let me close with giving you just a couple of practical steps. I'm going to give you some things to chew on. Real love means that you're going to have to love those who are close to us. Well, that's easy, Pastor. Oh, really? Here's the way one person put it. He said, to love the whole world for me is no chore. The only real problem's my neighbor next door. Sometimes it's the people that are the closest to you. It's the hardest to love. For whatever reason. Maybe because you opened up your heart to those people. They took advantage of it. They stomped on you. They abused you in some way. They've hurt you. And it's really, 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 really hard to love them. If the Lord's bringing a face or a name into your mind right now, maybe this is where He wants you to start. Really practically, to love the people who are close to you. Secondly, love those that are different from you. Love the people that are different than us. And I'm not just talking about race, skin color, language. Though for some people, maybe that's still an issue in your life. And if it is, you need to learn how to love the people that are different from you in that way. But sometimes different than us means they listen to a different kind of music. Maybe they go to the different service at church. They're different than us. or you know, they're different in, they're of a different generation. They just don't get me in my generation. They're just different than us. We got to learn how to love the people that are different of us. So love those that are close to us. Love those who are different than us. Love those who disagree with us. Sometimes we let a silly argument create a rift in our relationships. We don't know how to get over it. Say, I'm sorry. Well, what if it's about doctrine? It don't matter. It don't matter. Listen, if you are perfect in your doctrine, but because somebody disagrees with you, you quit loving them? Let me tell you, your doctrine ain't so perfect after all. Right? So you got to learn how to love the people that disagree with you. And then finally, just for good measure, just to make it really, really easy, love those who irritate us. Anybody in your life that just rubs you the wrong way, do not raise your hand. Do not call a name out loud. Do not elbow anybody. Probably there's some people in your life that you see them coming and you're like, oh, I'm going the other way. What am I? I'm just saying, maybe there's a fifth one or a sixth one that I didn't mention. But what I'm asking you to do as we come to the close of this message is when we talk about love, that you just don't walk out of here with just this, you know, like this lovey-lovey feeling, but it didn't really change your life. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to look in the mirror and talk to God and say, Lord, is there any area in my life where I'm falling short from really loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving my neighbor as myself? And if there's any area in your life, if there's a situation where you need to work on that, I just want to challenge you. Start today. Because these three things abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, Lord, I thank you today that you are a good God and a loving God. I thank you because you loved us while we were yet sinners. You loved us when we were unlovable. Lord, I thank you that you chased us down even when we weren't looking for your love. You overwhelmed us with your goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for every person in this place today who calls you master. Savior, my God. Thank you for everyone that's in that relationship with you. And Lord, I pray today that those of us who call ourselves Christians would really be Christians. We would really be Christ-like. We wouldn't just be religious and busy with our own things. But God, we would have your nature, your heart, your compassion for people who are all around us that are broken, that are hurting. And Lord, when we see them, God, help us to slow down and understand that that's the priority right now. That's the most important thing right now, to really demonstrate love. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us. Lord, we confess before you that that's not always easy. Lord, sometimes this love thing's a real challenge. And so we ask you, Lord, to help us. Help us to love the people that are close to us and the people that are different than us. And Lord, the people that argue and disagree. And Lord, the people that rub us the wrong way. Help us to love like you taught us to love. And Lord, let us love the lost with a love that's so undeniable that the words that we speak are not offensive, but draw them into a relationship with you. Lord, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there are those this morning who have not yet entered into that relationship with you, or they came today broken and hurting and in need in their lives, looking, what must I do to have eternal life? How can I have this good life, this abundant life that the Bible talks about? The answer is love God. Just love God. And let Him help you love other people. If you're here this morning and you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and invite Him to become your Savior today, I want to give you that opportunity. And I want to tell you just how much God loves you. You're not here by accident hearing this message about love, about God's love. God loves you. That's why you're here. Don't mistake it as anything else. It's God's love that brought you here today because He wants to have a relationship with you. If you're willing to open up your heart and have that relationship with Him, and you want the Lord to save you today, would you just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. You're in this place today and you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Let Him come in and save you. Would you raise your hand? Yes, I see your hand. Is there another? Is there another in this place today? Anybody else? All right, here's what I want us to do. I want us to just pray this prayer out loud. And maybe you're watching online with us right now. And that's who you are. And you need Jesus in your life more than anything else, more than you need your next breath. It's as simple as inviting Him in. And He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just call on Jesus' name, if you just invite Him in, He will save you. He wants to. So all across this room today, everybody here, would you pray this prayer out loud with me? And you who raised your hand, would you just pray this prayer from your heart? God's going to hear you from right where you're sitting. Dear Jesus, I come to You. And I simply confess that I'm a sinner. I am lost without You. But I believe that You love me. That You want to have a relationship with me. That You are willing to pay the price for my sin when You died on the cross and rose again. I believe You did it for me. And so, Jesus, I'm asking You now, forgive me of all my sin. I turn away from them. I want to live for You. Help me now to serve You for the rest of my life. Jesus, save me. Thank You for hearing my prayer. Thank You for saving me. Thank You that my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in Heaven's Book with all the other members of the family of God. Help me now to live for You for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, celebrate. Celebrate! Hallelujah! Yes! Yes! So here's what I want us to do. We're gonna close this service. I want to invite the prayer team, if you'll come. Join me down here at the front. You may have come today with all kinds of needs, hurts, problems in your life, and you just need someone to pray with you. This is the time. This is a chance. This is an opportunity. We're here to pray with you. If you raised your hand, saying, I want to invite Jesus in my life. I know that I need to be saved. Would you come find me at the end of this service? I'll be right down here. Come find me. And I just want to just encourage you, give you some information that will help you to just start this journey with Jesus, okay? And then if you are a first-time guest, let me just remind you that we've got someone back at our guest central table that would love to meet you, get to know you better. And we have that gift that we want to give you. So would you just stand with me and let's just close in this final word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, help us to be who you called us to be, those who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who really love our neighbor as ourself. Help us, Lord, as we endeavor to really be who you called us to be, those examples of those who love one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.